This episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you get total control to watch thousands of shows wherever you want, whenever you want. Binge on full seasons and watch your favorite current shows like Community, South Park, SNL, and more. Right now, our listeners get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus by going to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey.
Oh shit, it's that time of the motherfucking day. Wednesday, June, what the fuck is it?
19th,
2013. Where the fuck are you, motherfucker? Wash that pussy, get up, hit it. Oh shit. Here we go, motherfuckers. What? Listen to this shit. Oh shit. Fuck Abe Lincoln and fuck. Listen, this is fucking history right here. Hit it! Oh. Stop it. You think he was smoking sativas or fucking. He didn't give a fuck! Here we go. There you go, Lisa. I kill that motherfucker. We're starting a Wednesday morning here, chopping fucking mountains down.
How old was he when he passed
Who
away?
Gives a fuck?
But he was young.
He was young, man. He was like 20-something, maybe. Jesus. Tupac was 25. These motherfuckers, the government took them out young. So if you next time you think they listen to your emails, these motherfuckers got killed by the government for playing a fucking guitar.
Welcome to Eddie Bravo Radio.
That's right. I just drew that roach away. My mistake. You got me all hot and sticky here. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Get up Wednesday, June, whatever the fuck it is.
19th.
What's happening, Lisa? Yeah, how's the juicing going?
Feeling great. I'm not juicing right now. It's kind of like the way you do like the On It stuff. After a while of doing it, I get sick of it. So we're going to start MyFit Foods. I'm starting it July 5th. And after that, maybe I'll juice again.
Why July 5th? It's June fucking 17th. Why is it always 9 weeks away?
Because we're going. Because it's a 21-day program,
right?
And we're going to San Jose before then.
Can't take that food with you.
And then the 4th of July. So I'm a Jew.
Did you swim yesterday?
No, I didn't swim yesterday.
When is it going to continue? When is it going to end?
I don't know, man. I'm lazy.
Beautiful fucking day out there. Beautiful fucking.
It is, but I also work 12 hours a day, and then I do on Tuesday, on Mondays and Wednesdays, I do this for another 2.
What 12 hours do you do? You go on at 6?
I have to leave here at 5.
All right.
I work a 10-hour shift, okay. And then I come back. So maybe it's an 11.5-hour day.
All right. And you still don't have 10 minutes to fucking, for your health, to jump in the fucking pool.
I'm eating healthier.
I did you see at Yum Yum Donuts?
You call me. You forgot what you were going to say. And then you call me back. You're like, I remembered. They got juice now.
They Yum got Yum fucking Donuts. Juice at Yum Yum Donuts. You get a beet juice. And a chocolate donut for $1.
I hate beets.
I fucking hate them.
Russian Jews love them. Like that.
Red sweet things. I fucking hate them. And when that red juice dips into your food, I hate you even fucking.
There's
more.
Like a cold soup. I can't remember what it's called. Yeah. But they put sour cream in it.
Something like that.
Jews love it. I can't do it. And like my 90-year-old aunt made it.
In there. It's horrible. That shit's horrible. I know exactly what you're talking about. Fucking horrid.
Yeah.
I fucking hate beets since I can remember. Do you understand me? I hate beets. I hate that red fucking water. You know, I like Kool-Aid, but I hate that red fucking water that beets got when they dip like they touch a mashed potato. I don't like nothing touching my mashed potatoes. You understand?
Oh, you don't like that?
Nothing. I don't like cranberry juice, cranberry sauce. I don't want nothing touching my mashed potatoes. That's the quickest way to start a war.
Do you mix it up? Like what I always take like a mashed potatoes, corn, and chicken or whatever the meat was. I would have it like all in one bite. You don't do that?
Yeah. I like to get meatloaf and mix it with the mashed potatoes.
With some
ketchup
excited.
And that motherfucker.
Oh, I love meatloaf.
Listen, I love fucking meatloaf. Oh, some good American fucking meatloaf. God damn. With some mashed potatoes and some cream corn with some jalapenos.
I can't do cream corn.
I'm a corn no matter what.
I love corn.
So let me tell you what happened this week, just so you fucking know.
What happened?
So I went over to Divine Wellness on Monday, right?
Oh, boy.
I had to run some errands after the podcast. I had a meeting. I think I went to Divine Wellness at about 1 o'clock.
Okay.
When I came back over the hill. I stop in there and I get my little fucking tutsurutz, my little bag of reefer, and I get the Skywalker that's really good over there. and I get a Bang Bar, the mini bite, the 180.
Okay.
And I get these little chocolate one hits that they have. These little dark chocolate, milk chocolate, Ugatz little pills they have. No big fucking deal.
No big deal.
So I pop them outside. I go home. I get my writing stuff. And I go over to the coffee shop. And I'm sitting there writing, minding my own business. And it's starting to overwhelm me. I'm drinking green teas. And this fucking edible is starting to take me creeping. I'm smoking the vapor pen. You know, man, I'm fucking...
And that's when you called me the first time then, probably.
No, this is like 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was early still.
Oh, okay.
Trust me, I was so high, I couldn't even call nobody. I was getting higher by the minute. I kept looking down.
Did you get any writing done?
Oh, yeah. That's when I fucking go crazy. But as I'm evolving, you know, I'm giggling by myself. That's how I know I'm getting something good when I'm giggling.
Oh, like the pen doesn't freak you out? Like sometimes when I do stuff like that, I can't even like pick up my phone or something.
So I'm over there writing, putting two pieces together. Let me tell you something. I was getting higher and higher by the fucking minute. And I kept looking at the clock going, like, I got to leave in 30 minutes. There's no fucking way. I would look at it. I got to leave in 20 minutes. There's no fucking way. When I got to like 5 minutes, I'm like, how the fuck am I going to get home? That's how fucking stoned I was Monday. That's how edible that I was. And I went to jiu-jitsu.
Did you?
Oh, no. I went home, slept for an hour. Yeah. I was so high at 10 to 6, I told my wife, wake me up at 7. She woke me up. I drank a cup of coffee. I washed my pussy. I sat there going, what am I going to do? I got to do one of the two. I either got to kickbox or go to jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there. I was fucking stoned. I said, fuck it. I went to jiu-jitsu. I did Monday Madness, and I did the roll, and I was fucking dying. And I got back, and that's when I was calling you. Even after jiu-jitsu, I was blazed. So what do you think I went and did yesterday? I got the same combination.
Oh, Jesus.
I ate dinner with my wife, and I was in bed at 9 o'clock last night, stoned to the gazelles.
And did you have Dr. Amy yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
I got the cups. I got two doctors yesterday. I had to go to a knee doctor yesterday.
How's it doing?
So they're going to shoot a fucking gel in my little kneecap, in my right leg, because I have a little arthritis still left in there.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks in a row, I got to drive to Marina fucking Del Rey, and they're going to shoot me. Can you imagine the shit driving? That's like, are you fucking kidding me? I got to drive 40 miles to go get pain.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can make it back. Like, I don't know.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you look how the pain's worth. The pain's not that bad.
Listen, the pain's not that bad right now, but it's going to get worse. I'm getting...
Oh, I know things. It's worth it, but just knowing things. You how yeah. You do traffic.
Oh, but I'll do it like 12, so I have to leave my house at 10:45. By 10:45, it's pretty open.
Yeah, you should be fine.
You're taking a fucking chance. How long? Even if I faint at 12 and I got to sit there for an hour,
yeah,
I could make it home by 3 o'clock if I leave, so it's not fucking bad. But it's funny because I meet with this guy, John Salami, who's one of Eddie Bravo's black belts, but John's a fucking great guy.
Mm-hmm.
John used to run 10th Planet Portland.
Okay.
And he's back now, and today we're going to do some jiu-jitsu stuff. And it's funny how John and I are both in Jersey. He's maybe 5 years younger than I am. And we get together once a week, and we just talk about... Did you not meet with us one time? We just talk about different movies and different things that I grew up with in Jersey.
I don't think so.
Since he really knows Jersey, we really talk about... And last week, we met, and we were talking about the thing I always tell you... In 85, the last 3 days I was in Jersey when I found out that the Colombians that I had robbed were looking for me. I found out that my stepfather was looking for me. And then that last day we were talking, we were laughing our asses off. So he told me to write something. And that Tuesday, the Monday when I ate the edibles, I swear to God, I went and wrote. And I wrote about my life. Today Omar's going to call, who's the editor on my book that we're we're writing together. And
yeah,
it's funny that I was writing about a time in my life when... It was so scary, Lee, I had to put the pen down and start breathing.
Like it affected you that much?
The other day. Like it fucked me up. Like when I got there, I was writing jokes. But sometimes my jokes aren't flowing, so I write something else. I pick a subject. And I'll write that subject out, and that'll give me ideas to write the jokes.
Oh, okay.
So instead of sitting there staring up to the sky with a pen hitting your fucking teeth... thinking, you're writing something you know about. So it could be about me and Lee's trip to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just write it out. We arrived in Newark. Lee fucking sat in 42nd Street. We had to pull him, and he missed the guy smoking the joint. You'll never live that down. And then you add the color commentary. You put the funny words. You add the twist to it. So it's jogging my memory.
Okay.
But I'm thinking about when I moved in with the Benders after my mother died, after like 3 months. I had a little bit of money left over that people had given me at the funeral. What's this ocean on? It's a plane. I thought it was a fucking ocean here. Lower that shit, Lee. One of your microphones is too hot. I'm getting planes that are flying over Burbank. You hear that shit?
Yeah, it's right over my roof.
There's that's no amazing. I thought I fell in the fucking ocean. I thought it was SpongeBob SquarePants. I was living in a pineapple.
You had one of those chocolate pills already this morning, didn't you?
No, I had nothing this morning. I just had a piece of bread and a protein shake. I had a little piece of Italian bread with butter and a protein shake. But there was a time right when John Lennon died in 1980. You were still itching your daddy's pants.
Yep.
I was living with the Benders. I was going to East Stroudsburg. So get it. Let's pretend, people, I was 17 years old.
Okay.
I was selling ups. I was selling acid. I was selling mescaline. Mm-hmm. I was probably making $600 a week off the speed, the Black Beauties. I was probably making $900 off the mescaline.
A week?
A week. This is when I was a junior in high school. That's why I tell people I was making more money when I was a kid than I ever made ever fucking before.
You should have a mansion in every state by now.
Can you believe that? But I wasn't making mansion money. I was making
If you hadn't spent all that money on blow over the years.
No. That was survival. When I was 16, it was survival. I didn't have a mommy and a daddy, so get that. It wasn't blow.
Well, no, but I'm saying it was like $1,500 a week.
No, okay. It wasn't blow. It was survival.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't have a mommy and a daddy. I didn't cook. You don't cook. You eat at Slight. You eat at Nick's. When I was 17, I was eating at restaurants. You understand me? I didn't cook. You know, I didn't have nowhere to cook, so there was no blow. And blow was $40 then.
Okay.
I was living. I was buying my own clothes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So don't even know. No. When I was 17, when you guys are at home, mommy, make me a sandwich. Joey was doing something completely different. You follow what I'm saying to you? So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it. I was doing that. I was probably going out 5 nights a week and I was doing everything else when I was 17. But there was a point when I was 17 where I got mixed up with cops.
What do you mean mixed up with them?
I started, there was a guy I knew that he was just a dear friend of mine and he sold coke.
Okay.
And one day I went over there to buy coke from him, and his cousin was there, was a cop.
Did that freak you out?
Not at all, because I knew he should. I could have been there. He wasn't supposed to be there.
Okay, so he
wasn't supposed to be
there. He was there hanging out. He wasn't there.
Right, but they were cousins.
Okay.
So he saw that I was friends with him, and he was like, he's cool. And I'm like, I'm cool. I'm just here to get some fucking blow like everybody else. And I got the blow, and a couple of days later, the cop approached me. He goes, listen, man. That was really a fluke that you saw me over there. So what I want you to do is this. From now on, I'm going to stop by the basketball courts in the daytime.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you money. And you're going to go over there at night, in the daytime, pick up coke for me, and I'm going to come by your house at night and pick it up for you. So I won't be seen over there.
Okay.
Because something happened. The guy packed the dealer.
Yeah.
One night I was walking home, and he was driving home, and the cops were chasing him from the Meadowlands. And he gave me some coke, and I took it home. And I never opened it. I don't remember. He told me a couple months ago. He goes, and after that, I gained a lot of trust in you. You were a young man. I could see that you were a kid, but you were a man. And he goes, so I started trusting you. You started coming over my house. And I remember going to his house, and me and Carlos Quintero, we were Didi, we were all family over there.
No.
So one day he says to me, can you do this for me?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of me going to my cousins and getting blow,
yeah,
I'll give you the money. You go over there, and I'll meet you at night.
Yeah.
So here I was, a junior in high school. I would go home at night. At about 11, after going to my girlfriend's house and holding hands with her and watching like Happy Days, whatever the fuck you watched in those days.
Yeah.
Or if not, I'd be at Villo's house smoking dope, fucking playing the drums, and then I'd go home early. And he'd get on shift at 11:45. He'd work 12 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
So he would pick me up in the police car. In a fucking police car. We'd go get an 8-pack of Coors Nips.
Yeah.
Which is 6-ounce Nips. And we get them really cold. There was a bar, Ernie. Remember I took you to Ernie's?
Yeah.
And we get cold beers at Ernie's. I go in the police car, and we go by Big Mouth Sandwiches. And there was a parking lot behind Big Mouth on a slant, so you could see people speeding. And we'd sit up there, and we'd do lines of blow while we watched it. So I was 17, and this cop was 30.
So it was better for him to have you pick it up and bring it to him in his car so he could drink and do it than just go to his cousin's house?
Well, he didn't want to. Let's say the feds were watching the cousin's house. Do you follow me?
But he was doing it in the car.
They're not watching you in the fucking car. You're watching cars speeding by.
Okay.
He was on shift, Lee.
I know.
He was on shift. So you follow. So nobody suspected it.
Okay.
You understand me?
Jesus.
But if you're sitting, if you're a drug dealer and the feds are across watching you and I come over here, that looks worse.
Okay.
They're not going to watch everybody who goes in there. They're watching the fed. Okay. They're watching the dealer. They're not watching them and then watching their lives. They're watching you going to that guy's house.
Okay.
So here I was with this cop. But this wasn't, this was four nights a week. Me and this cop would get high four fucking nights a week. And after a couple of weeks, other cops would join us. And we'd all sit on that hill and watch people speed. They'd think we had the radars on them. No, we didn't give a fuck. We were sitting up there doing blow. You understand what us
fucking
going?
At 17.
At 17. So now I'm doing this shit. So here's what gets better. So now every time I knew in the back of my head, I could do whatever the fuck I want. Because whenever it came down to it, they were on duty, and I could just call them and say, call those fucking cops. So do you understand where I'm going? So at 17, here I was. And Lee, you talk about, I work 12 hours a day. Listen, I was going home at 4 in the morning. I was part of the work-study CIE program.
Okay.
So my first class was a 7:30 guy. You understand me? So next time you talk about, hey, are you sleeping? I slept 3 hours a fucking night in high school for all you little fucking faggots out there. I'm tired, okay?
It's not like you're up doing homework,
The fucking 7, I would sleep. They'd pick me up, and I'd be at school at 7:30. Then at 12:30, I'd go to a lumber yard, and I'd work till fucking 5. And then I'd go home, eat, and then at 7 o'clock, I went out and did drugs like any other teenage kid. How are you supposed to fucking act? You're not supposed to sit there on a computer and watch fucking Community. Oh, my God. This is so funny. I didn't even watch fucking TV. I don't even know it was on TV from 80 to... I didn't watch TV till 97. For 17 fucking years, I didn't watch TV. You think about that. So, and at this lumber yard, when I got this job at the lumber yard, the job was given to me by a kid named Pete Balzano.
Okay.
Who was Carmine Balzano's son.
Yeah.
So he was moving on to bigger things. He gives me this job at this lumber yard when I'm 17, 16. And he goes, you want the job? I go, yeah. He goes, come on down. He introduced me to everybody. He goes, oh, by the way, when we're outside, he goes, don't forget to steal. Because if you don't steal, then they're going to know I was stealing.
Yeah.
So on top of all the drugs and all the other mayhem I had going on in my house, the cops and everything else, now I'm working at a lumber yard, and he gave me all his accounts. So they sold marine lumber, marine 4x8, marine 2x12.
So like build boats and stuff?
They built boats, and okay. They had to refinish boats with this plywood. The plywood had to be dipped in this special fucking thing.
Okay.
And even all the metal had to be galvanized. So let's say the sheets were $48.
Okay.
I would sell them for 10 in the back door. So people would come and get 40 sheets and give me 400 fucking bucks. You know, they had an old school register. So let's say you came in and bought a hammer for 64 bucks. I would charge you $4 and keep the 60. Do you have any fucking idea what I was a one-man wrecking machine. And I was selling gold. So if I would bump into gold, so I had the drugs, I had the fucking gold.
You bump into gold?
If I'd bump into gold somewhere, I sold the fucking... I had this guy, Tommy Bogey. Bogeys were fucking gangsters.
Okay.
But his father in the daytime had a little stand. He would buy gold for me in 1981 at this little lumber yard. And I'd bring him everything fucking stolen. He'd buy it all and give me top dollar. And his family owned the construction
company. He had a stand at a lumber yard where you could bring gold?
Mm-hmm. He would buy gold at a lumber yard. Like, he would just stay there all day. Like, that was his day job. He was really a bookie. But he would go to his lumber yard and have a little table and have scale, and he'd buy gold from you.
You don't understand. Like, I don't think you fully understand. For someone who's grown up when they almost always had security cameras and they've always had computers and they always scanned stuff when you bought it.
Can you believe that shit?
I can't even wrap my mind around. Because I worked at, like, a CVS. I worked there for 3 years. And I worked in a movie theater for 3 or 4 years. They scan everything. And they have a camera watching every possible angle there is, they're watching. So the fact that you could do that on a regular basis...
I guarantee I could go in that movie theater and rob a blind as an employee.
I don't think so. They count every cup. They count every piece of candy. You could do it for a little bit, but not the amount that you did...
No, but I could steal. You got to figure. You could charge. Let's say somebody comes up with sodas, 2 popcorn, blah, blah, blah. You could charge them for the popcorns and the sodas, but the candy you don't charge them dick for. And you pocket that money, especially if they're paying cash. You got to make sure they're paying cash.
I don't think you could. That's a reality.
If you're a theater, a high school kid, and you could rob 40 a night doing that, that's 320 a fucking one. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? So for a guy my age, no, it wouldn't pan out. But for a college kid today, a high school kid that went in there from 5 to 10, he sold popcorn, There's a scam. He just hasn't figured it out. These little motherfuckers, they could turn a computer out. If I, with the people I ran with, if they were idiots and they figured out how to fuck a fucking cash register, if they could figure that out, you motherfuckers are lazy. You just haven't looked into it. I'm telling you. You could scan the sodas. You could scan the sodas and the popcorn, but inhale those $4 boxes of fucking Juju Fruits. Somebody buys two of those, there's 8-10 people come in, that's $80. When you're in fucking high school, $80 comes in fucking quick.
You're probably, but you know, like the one I was at, they counted every piece of candy every night.
And the camera's going to see you scanning everything. The camera's not going to see you scanning your thumb. They're not going to look, and the, trust me, nobody sits there and watches you repeat the fucking tape. That's 24 hours a day.
If they're missing that many candy things every week, you don't think they would? I don't know, man. Somebody's, I saw people get fired for a lot less.
Do you know how many fucking people would have to sit there? First off, the movie theater manager's a guy like you. Yeah. He's a very nice guy. He couldn't figure out if somebody stole the fucking coffee cup. You're a sweetheart of a guy. But you know, you can't, you don't even jaywalk, would you?
Of course I do.
You follow what I'm saying to you? So he couldn't figure it out. So they have to hire somebody to come in and watch all that because a guy's stealing $80, $90 a night. They just don't let it go. But this high school kid is going to make $80 times five. That's $400 plus his fucking $650 an hour.
Jesus. So you were writing this and this freaked you out?
I was writing about everything that was going on.
Okay.
Everything. I mean, this is just a, you know, I was trying to tell him the day before. We were laughing our asses off. I was involved in this credit card fucking thing. How I would take these credit cards. I was so sick of using people's credit cards that I would throw them out the window. I'd go, that's it. Never again. And then a week later, I go, I need a sweater. I go right back to Beverly Boulevard. I look in the weeds.
I need a sweater.
And there's the fucking credit card. And I take the fucking credit card and go back to a store. So I was talking about this time period and just scared. I had to, like, put the fucking pen down, take my glasses off, and look up at the sky and go, holy fuck.
Do you think they had a file on you? Like, the banks were like, there's this guy. He's just stealing so many credit cards.
Well, I know that there was the one time we were involved in that check, it was through a bank, so they always write everything down. So after that, it had to.
What check? Oh, wait, the big one?
When I was a kid, yeah. You know, the bank, that they come back to investigate shit. But you got to remember, the insurance companies pick up a lot of this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know, but like just the amount, like how are all these credit cards getting stolen and fucking.
Well, in those days, we had somebody in the bank. So when this person cut a card for Lee Syatt, they also cut a card for Lee Syatt that went directly to me and my friends.
Jesus.
That's why when you guys think that, you know, when you guys are in shock because somebody read your emails, they've been fucking you up the ass for years. I knew a girl years ago could get me any fucking code for an AT&T line. In 1995.
How do you know all these people?
I grew up with them.
Jesus Christ. You should make Ocean 12 over again.
No, you come to me one day and you go, listen, I work at this fucking editing bay.
Yeah.
Okay, you go in there, they got 60 fucking computers.
Yeah.
They got a little fucking thing in the back with petty cash, this $4,000 or $5,000. They got this, they got that. You hit me with all this computer jargon. And then you say to me, Joey, if you find a way to take this shit, I got an outlet. I got a guy in San Diego that'll buy all these computers. That's how it starts. It doesn't start by guys like me. It starts with guys like you that are somewhere that are getting sick, they're getting fucked in the ass. And you know how the business works. And you sit there one day and scratch your head and go, oh my God, if I was a criminal, I would walk in here, take every computer, and go in that room and take the fucking safe and walk out of there. Thank God I'm not a criminal. But one day you bump into a guy like me in the gym, go get a few sodas, and over lunch one day you go, you know, at my place, there's these fucking TX computers. I'm just making something up, guys.
Yeah.
So don't call me on Twitter. And you don't know about computers, Joey. You're an asshole. You know, they got these state-of-the-art printers. They got the state-of-the-art thing, and there's no security. The back door is always open. And I'm there from 12 to 8 with three other editors that don't give a fuck. Think about it, Lee. That's how it happens. That's
how. But how did you do all these? It's not like you did one. It's like you had a new one every week.
Every week. When you're a fucking criminal, when you're out there, every week you got to keep. And some fall through.
It's like a full-time job. Jesus Christ.
The same thing. Some shit falls through. Sometimes you'll come to me and go, Joey, I know this guy, he's got a box of fucking razors, you know? Razors don't seem like much. You know how much razors are?
$20 a package.
Lot. So it's like I was telling you guys a story the other day about how when I lived in...
We got a call coming.
Oh, shit. And who is this?
It's Omar. What's going on, Joey?
Oh, shit. It's my little brother, Omar. Say hello to Omar, fucking...
Hey, Omar.
The flying Jew. What's going on? You know, Lee, say hello.
I said hello.
He's fucking stoned.
I said hello. You're stoned. Stop it.
Look at you. Look at your eyes and shit. What's going on, Omar, my main man?
Not too much. I'm just here, man. We're doing big things. We're really putting the pieces together, as you would say.
Always. Omar's my main man. Me and Omar met online a few years ago, and we've been trying to put together a book, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Omar has, you know, what do you call that? He's got silk gloves, so he's been guiding me through and not fucking spanking me and shit. And we've been working, so we wanted to talk about it online today on the podcast about the progress we've made with the book and what direction we're going. What do you think so far, Omar?
That's right. You know, it's funny. Where we are now is in the process that I'm helping you with. It's basically taking a novel and translating it to a screenplay. Because what you send me, when you sit down and you write, and you're always telling the people your process about how you're writing and how you're making it happen. When you send me what you send me, I then take it and it's not editing for spelling and for grammar. That's at a later stage. The stage where we are now is really shaping a narrative and creating content that is easily consumable. So you're taking something that you're sending me and creating it into essentially what is a readable novel, a readable book about your life. Because you have so many details, so many stories that curating that, really choosing what to put in, what to leave out, that's the art, and shaping it into something that is really accessible and fun and easy to read, that's the challenge. And so that's where we are now.
You know, it's funny, Omar. I mean, when I look at everything, and I was looking at what I was sending you in the beginning. When we first started working together, I was sending you stories.
Right.
And I started looking at the stories, and it was like I was doing stand-up comedy at first. And I would do stand-up comedy. I would go up there and just do one-liners, and that's great. But people want to know what the fuck you're really thinking, you know? And that's what I was just telling Lee just now a couple minutes ago. I got really high, and I was writing about my life from 16 to 18, and I had to stop. And I really wanted to cry. I got so much anxiety that I wanted to cry. And, you know, I could have had 90 pages worth of, what do you call that, content for you. But I didn't want to give you that. You guys have heard that. What I'm trying to give you is where my fucking mind was at.
I think most people are going to be surprised. The thing that's going to surprise most people about this book is that it isn't all jokes and games and kind of that crazy Joey Diaz that people know that we're first introduced to most people through the Joe Rogan Experience, where this larger-than-life character. You didn't start off and your life hasn't always been this kind of larger-than-life, crazy character. There's a person behind there, and there's a lot that has gone on. And so when you hear some of those most well-known stories, and a lot of stories that people don't know about, but to hear about what your feelings were, what your thoughts were during that process, I think it makes it a lot more relatable. And it's incredible how, as you're writing it, you feel that it's so real. You have to stop writing because it's hitting a nerve that it's so real. That's a universal thing, you know, that feeling of desperation, of loneliness, of working towards something, of feeling alone or feeling connected. I mean, all these things that people can relate to. And when you can really hit a nerve with yourself, you know that you can do it with your audience. Because all you've been doing all of these years is just being you. And this book is going to give you an opportunity to be you in a completely different way, because you can really unravel all of the details of how you got to be who you are.
Oh, it's fucking crazy. It's and I write this, and you know, it's something that I put under a carpet for a long time, the state of mind that I was in, you know, and that's why I wanted to write to you. I wrote you a chapter first about me getting left back, which you don't really think about. For years, people might look at me and go, oh, the drugs fucked him up. You have no idea. Getting left back destroyed me inside. I walked around with a scarlet letter, because as an immigrant, I always wanted to strive as a young kid. You know, there was a lot of kids in my school, and I didn't put this in the book, that were getting left back, Cuban kids, because they couldn't speak the language. You know, I was speaking the language, and I understood the material. I just fell in love over pussy, but that left back destroyed me. That was the first thing that fucked me up. And then 2 years later, this basketball dream I have. I have this dream of being a basketball fucking player, Lee. That's it. I just want to play. I don't want to talk to my parents. I don't want to fuck. I don't want to suck. I had already been had a broken heart. I want to play basketball, and I get this basketball thing yanked from me. And a couple months later, my mother dies. And now I'm beat up physically and emotionally. I'm just done. And now I got to go into the world at 17, and this is what I was just telling Lee about, with this fucking thing. And I sit here sometimes, and I hear about all these people who, well, he shot the school up because his mother had guns at the fucking house, or he did this. It's always a cop-out. And in the book, I didn't write it yet about my stepfather, how one night he gave me a .380 with a silencer. I told him there were spirits up in the attic, and he gave me a gun to sleep with. And I slept with this fucking gun all night. The next morning, I remember giving it to him, and it went on. I would knock on his door for weeks and go, "Can I get the gun? There's a ghost up there." And I would fucking sleep. Why don't I shoot fucking people today, Omar? And this is what I wanted to prove to people, that I hate misnomers. This is not the shit that affected me, that gun. What affected me was getting fucking left back. You know, I wrote, the last thing I wrote you was about finding my mother. What I told Lee last week, because I had never told Lee that story. That last night I did a hit of acid, and I didn't want to wake up. I don't know if my mother was yelling for me. I didn't know if my mother was yelling for a fucking, for a fork. I don't know what the fuck she was yelling for. I didn't wake up, and when I did wake up, she was dead, Omar. So for weeks I had little doubts in my head about that. Maybe I could have saved her. You know, in hindsight, I know now that when the Lord puts your number, he presses your number. But Omar, what was I feeling? And that's what I'm trying to get across to the reader. I felt like death at that time in my life. I didn't want to live. I just was waiting for something to kill me. I didn't have the balls to kill me. So I was going to push the envelope of life at 17 till I got killed. At that point, that's what I wanted. And then as I got a couple of years came, by the time I was 25, I was just looking for somebody to put a bullet in me.
Is that why you got emotional on Monday?
I always get emotional when I think about that part of my life, because I'm here. I can't fucking believe I broke through that block. I didn't want to be here. I never wanted this. I didn't want to go on. I just wanted somebody to kill me without me jumping off a fucking roof. So now I'm 50, and I sit here home, and I can't believe it. And I got to let people know that your life isn't as bad as what it seems. That's what I want to do with this book, you know?
So who do you feel, Joey, that this book is targeted toward? If you can paint the picture of the person that you really want this book to touch, who is that?
You know what? I want the guy to read it that thinks that his life is over. Because at one point in your life, you wake up and you're like, you know what? It's fucking over. I'm 38. Nothing's going to happen for me. I got no degree. I got no family. You know, this is who this book is for. For the guy who wakes up and goes, you know what, I got nothing. I got this broad next to me. She got herpes. You know, I got no job. I got no education. You know, I got a fucked up car. And you sit there and read this shit. And you go, holy fuck. You know, what would I do in that situation? And it's not that bad. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get a fucking gun. And I'm going out there and I'm doing something with my life. And that's who this book is for. Or for the guy who just wants to make his heart pump for 15 minutes at a shot. Anybody who doesn't want to drink fucking coffee or that shit in a can.
Red Bull.
Because I think, as I'm writing it, my fucking heart's beating. As I'm writing it, my fucking heart's beating no more. But I really want the person to read this that thinks that their life is over. Whether you're 20 or you're fucking 40. Because this didn't turn around for me till I was 44 years old, Omar. 40 fucking four. But I always kept something in the back of my mind. I always kept that in the back of my mind. As much as I hated my stepfather, Juan, I always kept in touch with him because I always wanted to let him know I was alive. And none of those motherfuckers could ever do anything to me. It was very special. And even today, I hate fucking Juan. I was thinking of buying my mother a new headstone.
Okay.
And sending it back, going to Jersey. Next time I go to Jersey, I'm going to order my mom a new headstone. And I'm taking his name off the fucking tombstone.
You still feel that strongly about him?
Yeah, no, especially after writing this book. Especially after writing what I've been writing lately. I feel, especially that time between 16 and 19, what happened between him and I should have not happened.
I thought you were cool with him now.
I was cool with him, on, like I said, Omar, until I started writing this with you, that I not get cool with Juan. If Juan was alive right now, I'd be pounding my head figuring out how to fucking put a bullet in his eyeball.
Yeah.
Because this is what writing this has done to me. Especially that age. That age, from 16 to 19 to 20, Omar, you have no fucking idea. Yeah, I was just breaking it down for Lee. People have no fucking idea. It was just a matter of time. And now I'm 50, 30 fucking years later, and I sit here and go, holy shit. So just when I write about that time frame and I write about not what was, hey, listen, a lot of kids at 17 did acid and did stupid shit. It was walking around with what I was walking around with. That was what made me different. I could have gone at any fucking minute. If I would have known about that shit, putting a bomb on your body and pulling the string, I would have been one of those guys. I would have done it. I would have probably done it. I would have probably gone into something that I hated, like some place that gave me a bad pizza food or something like that. And somebody would have gave me ranch with my wings. But that's the truth, Omar. That's what I want to show to people in this book. I don't want to tell them that many stories. They know the fucking stories.
Yeah.
I want to tell them the story and explain to them where my fucking mind was at that day. That I still remember it, and it scares me, Omar, when I look back into that.
Mm. No, that's real. That's very real, Joey. I think that one of the things that, in the process of putting this project together, that I've seen really change within you is that habit, the habit of writing. And I don't even think you realize fully how much what you do twice a week, getting up and putting on some music and oh shit and all that, how much that means to people out there when you're having a shitty day or you're getting up, you're going to work, you're dealing with things you don't want to deal with, but you can put on Uncle Joey and the Flying Jew, and everything seems like it's going to be all right. But it's on a consistent basis. You do it all the time, and that's why it has the impact that it does. And it's the same with your writing. Because you've been doing it so consistently, you're able to have the impact on your writing that you have.
Oh, it's a different level now. You know, when I'm not writing, and I'm not writing comedy, I'm thinking about my life at that age. And I really want to give you what's important from that age. Not the, you know, I went to Pittsburgh, I went to a concert. That's not what important. What was important was how I wanted that all to end. I just wanted a normal fucking life, and I would have traded it all in. I would have stopped doing drugs at that time. But at that time, cocaine was coming in.
Right.
And that fed right into my pain. That fed right into that fucking pain, into that storm. It was like, what's a tornado develops? What's it need? Hot air? What's that shit off the coast when a hurricane develops?
High pressure system.
Well, you need so many different components. And that was the last component to this fucking soup. And it took me from 18, and it was just a swirl. From that swirl, there's credit cards, there's kidnapping people, there's robberies, and it ends up with a kidnapping in Boulder, Colorado, out of all places. I didn't get arrested in New York with all these high-level detectives. I got arrested in a podunk little college town called Boulder, Colorado. That's what it took to straighten me out. And again, we dip into the state of mind. How I went to turn myself in from a kidnapping. This is how fucking crazy I was, Omar. I'm 28 years old when I went to turn myself in from a kidnapping. And I told the girl that was in the car, go get groceries. I'll stop when I get out of here and get weed, and we'll go home and watch the Don Johnson's Getting Married tonight on Miami Vice. It was that episode when he was marrying Sheena Easton on Miami Vice. I was turning myself in at 11 o'clock in the back of my mind thinking I would walk out of there at 2 o'clock and make it home for the wedding. This is after I put a gun to somebody's head, tied him up, and fucking put him in the trunk of a car. This is how demented the drugs and life had done to me. But I thought I was going to walk in there and actually talk myself out of it. You know, and there's people out there that are in this position also. That they're fucking demented with the drugs. And I remember seeing the DA months later at a supermarket. And me going up to him and talking to him and him going, you know what, bro, I looked at your police record. You've been chucking and jiving for the last 10 fucking years. It's time for you to pay your debt. And I remember I went home, Omar, my head almost exploded from hearing those words because he told me the truth. Mm. You know, so, Omar, tell us a little bit about your background, Omar. I want to hear about your fucking book writing and all this stuff. Talk to me because you're a sharp motherfucker. I love you to death.
I appreciate that, Joey. You know, my background, it's funny. I do a lot of my editing is not actually with this kind of work. It's usually with graduate students and academic writing with applications to graduate school, stuff like that. So it's it sounds like it's very different, but it's not. What's very similar between these two worlds is that I'm helping to people to form a narrative of whatever it is that they're doing. So some of the editing that I do is exactly what you would imagine, where it's just grammar and spelling and whatever. But a lot of it is creating a story. And the way I got to this, man, is that, you know, I started off as a kid, really the only thing that I could do to help me escape from where I was reading and writing. You know, I'm from Brooklyn, and Brooklyn in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, it's a jungle. It's crazy. And my parents came from the Dominican Republic and tried to create a life for me. And one of the only things that I could do to really see myself somewhere else is to have my nose in a book. And when I could see that words can really transport you somewhere else and can really shape your life, I mean, that's what motivated me. And I've been really blessed, Joey. You know, I've been able to see a lot of things and do a lot of things in my life. And the culmination of that is being able to work with you on this project. You know, you came down to New York City a little while ago and we got together. And, you know, I feel incredibly lucky to be able to be with somebody that I respect as much as you and to work with somebody that has been able to change their life as much as you. I'm much younger than you are, but I can see a lot of myself in you. So that's a lot
bro,
of
work. And you're a fuck. Listen, it's so weird how you learn, man. And I'm 50 and I'm old. And I wish that fucking I would have listened to people when I was 20. Oh, my God. I wish I would have listened to people when I was 25 and 30. That's what didn't make me a millionaire. It was not listening to certain people. And it's so weird when you come out of here and you want to write comedy, you want to write jokes. The first thing you do is you go to Barnes & Noble's or the other fucking bookstore, Samuel French. And you go in there and you drop $100. And you buy all these books by Jean Perrette for comedy writing or Judy Carter or, you know, there's so many. And then I read the book by Stephen Pressman, The Art of War or The War of Art or something like that. And he talked about now how it's just sitting down with a notebook. And if you sit down every day from 1 to 2, you'll come up with something. That's where you start. And I did that for a month and nothing happened, you know, or not even. I never even gave it a month. And I remember Mitch Hedberg used to shut off everything for 3 hours a day just to write. And for the last year, what I basically do is I put the phone away. You know, I don't get on the internet because it's completely different. And I write, and it's my escape. But what I've done with you is I've overcome all that shit I read in books. Because if you're reading, you ain't fucking writing. If you want to write, if you want to be a writer, do me a favor. Take the books and throw them up your ass. Just write. You know what? The first year, Omar, I'm going to fuck everything up. I look at those blogs from MySpace now. Oh, my God. Thank God they didn't throw me off because of the spelling and the commas and the punctuation. But you know what? You figure it the fuck out. Just write. That's what I was scared of. I was scared of the punctuations, and I'm not going to spell right, and I don't have time to open up a dictionary and correct the fucking spelling or a thesaurus or with all these things I need. You know what? Don't worry about that. Get on your fucking computer or get a fucking feather with a pen like I told you yesterday. We're both writers. We don't have a feather in our pocket. And you just write. And just write it out. And later on, after you come down, after the kid goes to sleep, after you've washed your pussy, you look at what you wrote, and then you add the commas to it. But nothing is as important as doing it. Just writing. And this was the biggest misnomer that was sold to me and the biggest misnomer sold to thousands of other people who come to Hollywood or in the Bronx or in Brooklyn. And that's what you taught me, Omar. You gave me a system. He gave me a system. Just write one sentence a fucking day.
Yeah. Let me talk a little bit about that. Because we were into the situation where this is a big project. And I forget exactly how it was that we started with deadlines or how much, you know, it was like, let's say I'll write a few pages or write whatever it was by every couple of weeks. But whatever system we had, it was too much. And so you found yourself, it was almost like you're in school and you have a homework assignment and it's like a big essay, a 10-page essay on something, and you procrastinate. And by the time that deadline comes up, you feel so much pressure that you either don't do it or you don't do a great job on it. And it's tough. I mean, the deadline is supposed to help to motivate you, can be detrimental to you. And so I'm doing a lot of research on what it is that I could do to help you to form a habit of writing. And there is a psychologist whose name is BJ Fogg that has this concept called tiny habits. And tiny habits is all about whatever it is that you want to do, whether it's flossing your teeth or writing a book, creating an everyday super tiny goal. So if your goal is to floss your teeth, for example, on a regular basis, then your goal every day is to floss one tooth. One tooth. And that sounds ridiculous, of course, that you're just going to floss one tooth.
One tooth.
Yeah, if you just say to yourself, all right, I'm going to floss one tooth, then the chances are if you get to the one, you'll probably do a lot more than just that. But if in your head you allow yourself to just do the one, then you overcome that psychological barrier that stops you from getting started in the first place. So what we set up was, all you had to do was write a couple of sentences a week, something that you can bang out in 3 minutes less. You know, just write two sentences. And what you found was, I'm sure, that as you started writing, once you had those two sentences, of course you can't just stop at two, you keep going. But the toughest part isn't going once you get started, it's getting started. So that tiny habit gives you the psychological permission to not have to produce this large thing. You produce this tiny thing, and then you feel like you've accomplished something, and it gives you that momentum to be able to keep going.
And it fucking works, man, because now I'm writing every day. And I can't wait to write a sentence, and I end up writing two sentences. Or you end up writing three sentences. But that's what I want to do. This, Omar, this means so much to me, and I'll tell you why. I just became a father. One of my, you know, out of all my idols are Julius Erving, you know, Muhammad Ali, you know, I like Led Zeppelin, I like everything, but man, when it gets to writers, those are my real fucking idols. Like to write Old Man in the Sea and live in Cuba and drink daiquiris all afternoon and have a bunch of fucking cats and be eccentric. That's the way to live when you're 50 and above. I don't drink right now, but I have a secret desire to fucking drink. I'm not a drinker, but I would love to be able to drink a margarita with an umbrella in it every afternoon at 4 in the fucking afternoon. You know what I'm saying, Omar? So, Omar, right now I'm in a time in my life that I know in 4 or 5 years, if I stay alive, I'm not going to be able to travel like I do. I'm just not going to be able to do it. You know, I'm going to be tied up with my daughter, school, whatever. My wife wants to work. I want to choke her to fucking death. But I think that writing is my next avenue. This is the beginning of something. I want to write this book and put it out because after that, Omar, that's when we go crazy. You know, I want to write books like the guy from Get Shorty. You know, I got two of those in me. I got two Get Shorties in me. Do I want to make a movie? No. Do I want to meet Travolta? No. Just for me to write, just for me to have that title of author would make me so fucking proud because I wasn't an attorney. I'll take an author. It's an A. You know, it's an A word. I'm an asshole. I'm a cocksucker. I'll take an author instead of attorney, but it would make my world. So I want you to know what my intentions are. This is the beginning of a long relationship with you and I. So, and I think I owe you money. I'll send you a check this week.
And it's a legacy to your daughter. You know, it's something that she can take with her and... It's a very special thing.
I don't want her to hear this shit. You know, I don't want her to have to...
I was just thinking about that.
I don't want her to hear this shit till she's 18.
No, she's going to love it. She's going to love it.
Because it affected me when I heard the stories about my father, because my father died when I was 3. And all those dumb stories they told me that didn't matter at the end. I didn't hear a good story about him till my mother died. Till the day she died, that's when a guy told me a story that stayed with me. All those other stories about him doing this, and they didn't matter at the end. You know, the character was what mattered. I don't want, you ever see two kids when they're talking and my daddy does, I don't want my daughter to have that attitude. I want my daughter to grow up with an attitude that she puts her pants on just like everybody else. I don't care what my dad fucking does.
No, so, no, I'm saying she'll love it when she's like 25 or something.
Yeah,
like
to 30. Read something. Mm-hmm. And just to know, Omar, but... Yeah, Omar, without you, I couldn't have been doing this lately. You really... And it's reflected in my stand-up, too, so... I have a look at Omar. I'm only home 3 days a week now, 4 days a week. I don't have fucking time to go out at night. I'm an old man. I'm tired. Between the working out, the kid, and the writing, and the getting high, I'm fucking tired. But yeah. I know if I write 2 hours... My goal is to write 2 hours a day. The first thing on my daily thing, planner, every day is to write 2 hours a day. And believe it or not, if I write one sentence... And I have a paragraph to follow. That's an hour there and an hour of writing jokes.
Yeah.
You know, so when I go on the road, like this Friday, I'll write 3 hours because I'm in a hotel room. I'll get a vapor pen and a cup of coffee and I go to fucking work, Jack.
That's what it takes. That's it. That's why it's beautiful. I really appreciate working with you, Joey.
No, and I appreciate working with you. Where can they find you? If people want to talk to you and maybe you can help them out. Where can people find you?
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Twitter is the number one way, and I'm on Writing Savage on Twitter. You know, I got to get it from you. Got to be a savage. Got to be a writing savage. So that's it.
Writing Savage. Well, I call you. I'll call you this afternoon in a few hours, and we'll plan out chapter fucking two.
Sounds like a plan.
The next, did you think of something for your Uncle Joey?
Can I think of something?
No. Did you think of something for the next chapter? How are we gonna do this?
Oh, yeah. But we'll discuss that.
All right, brother. Omar, thank you very much for calling. I love you to all my heart, brother. And I'm happy you came into my life, you fucking savage.
All right. Take care, Lee.
Bye, Omar. The fact that you call me a fruitcake and your deepest, darkest dream is to have a margarita with an umbrella every day at 4.
Oh, please. Like a doctor with flip-flops on an island after you wrote for 2 hours a fucking day. I'm going to give some shout-outs to these cocksuckers. Hold on. Mr. Coy, I love you. Kyle Marlin, he's always there for me. Kelly Valdez, Scottish Paulie, Taylor, Wardell, Amadon, The Blue Print, and Mike Higley, I love you. What the fuck are you laughing at, Lee?
You're saying all these long names, and then you pause, dude. Taylor.
Yeah. Listen, cocksucker. Sometimes I forget. I write them a little high. You know, it happens. What's with the fucking giggles?
The weed you gave me is fucking really strong.
I told you.
Oh, what is that one?
This one was...
Jesus.
This is from Divine Wellness. This was... Either this is the church.
No,
they have, the church. They have the church. Yeah, this is.
They
this
did
is
that tonight. On purpose. Then
I love this fucking reefer. This reefer will put a fucking hem in your skirt. Where's the music, Lee? What? You sit me here. You fucking got the music for me.
I'm sitting you here.
Yeah, put some fucking music on, Lee. You're killing me. I got. Oh shit! Get up! It's Wednesday, the 19th. My ex-wife's birthday's Friday. I hope she gets stabbed in the fucking neck by an Indian with an arrow. Oh, shit. Get your shit together, motherfuckers. You're in America. Fill out your unemployment paperwork. It's Wednesday, cocksuckers. Louisville, Kentucky, get your shit together. I'll be there. I don't want no fucking stories. Bring that Kentucky bluegrass reefer. San Jose, we're coming up next weekend with the Flying Jew. Philadelphia, July 20th. I don't want to hear no fucking stories. Bring Michael Vick and the Chihuahuas. What's the story, Lee Syatt? It's fucking Wednesday. What do you got for me, cocksucker? Tell me something good. If you didn't go to Onnit this fucking week, you fucked up because they're having a sale. You fucked up. People been sending me pictures with new moves. You should have a ton of new moves for the summer. You should have some Alpha Brain. You should get some Strong Bone. Little hemp protein always fucking works. I'm telling you right now. No farts. Reefer free. I didn't spray my nose this morning. Sorry about that. Besides that, things are crack-a-lacking here. What else is going on, Lee? Did they go to Onnit yet? If you haven't gone to Onnit.com, you're fucking slipping. Because Onnit's got the way for you to live. You understand me? You're a fat fuck. Your feet hurt. Your joints hurt. Get some strong bone. If not, get some fish castles. But do something today. Don't just fucking sit there and blame it on society. McDonald's is giving away two burgers for a dollar. That's why I'm not. Don't fucking blame it on McDonald's. Get out there, you fuck.
You called me up the other day. You're like, I have a coupon for a double quarter pounder as well. I'll meet you there at 7. Or something. Like, you just called me up. Fucking let me tell you deals. What
happened. My wife was in a rush the other day. So she said, you got to do me a favor. You got to get me an Egg McMuffin. So we pulled in there, and I got one of those egg white with cheddar, just that.
Yeah.
Not bad. 300 calories, like 5 points. Not fucking bad. I just had that.
Yeah.
But on the bag, they gave me a coupon with a quarter pound.
Oh, you actually did have a coupon? I thought you were joking.
I got in the car. No, I folded. I saved it for my main man,
you're
Lee.
You're such a Jew.
Who loves you more than me, Lee? You come on, cocksucker.
And speaking of coupons, we have a coupon for you at HuluPlus.com.
Captain Badass, you know I love you. I'm Amadeus Wardell. Get it together, you bad motherfucker.
HuluPlus.com/Joey. And I just went and looked, and they have Miami Vice from the 80s. They have that up there. They have Lost. They have a whole bunch of shit.
Let me tell you something. You go to HuluPlus.com. You press in Joey. Do yourself a favor. Get the first season of Miami Vice. I'm not fucking bullshitting.
They have 5 seasons of it up
there. They got 5 seasons. Forget about it. Watch all of them. But the first season, you're going to go crazy with Calderon, with fucking, I think the third season is the Spanish kid when he comes back with Lee Iacocca. They got some good fucking episodes. Ted Nugent, Bernard King, and Bill Russell. But the first season of fucking Miami Vice, the pilot with Jimmy Smits, then from there it goes. And a lot of people don't know Jimmy Smits is the pilot. Out of respect for Sons of Anarchy fucking shirt. You know Uncle Joey don't fuck around. Go to Hulu today. Go to my webpage, joeydiaz.net. Go to Hulu, get 2 free fucking weeks, then come back and tell me what you think. If you don't like it, say, Joey, go fuck yourself. Go fuck your mother and get the chicken wings and take them with you. You're going to like it. You're gonna, what the fuck are you giggling about, Lee, with family?
Get the chicken wings and take them with you.
Go to Hulu Plus. That's all I'm trying to tell you. And on the way back, stop at fucking on it and get yourself some new mood. I'm happy today. Can I tell you people that?
I know.
Because you people make me happy.
And I
love talking to you people. What do you need?
I need you to help me with a situation. Go ahead. I don't know what it is. Throughout my life, I run into girls that just don't give blowjobs, and I don't understand it.
Wait,
I just.
What is this, high school?
What do you mean? What is this, high school?
That's the only time you bump into chicks that don't lick your nuts.
That's what I'm saying. I'm 24.
Nah, here's the secret. All right, so you're eating their ass.
All right, that's where I messed up. I'm not doing that.
And right there, you're eating their ass, right? Right there, you put 2 fingers in their ass, and it's like a side. You move to the side. It's like you're going into side control.
Okay.
Okay, so you push that leg over, but you keep that hand on the fucking monkey, and you're working that hoof the whole time. Your finger, you're hearing. You're working that fucking monkey. You put your leg right over, and you take that helmet. When they're working that dick, they're in a hypnosis, okay? You ever finger a girl, they get into that fucking trance, like they're leaving you this country. Same thing. While you're fingering them, they get in that trance. You pop that fucking helmet in their mouth, and they'll go, fuck that shit. You got to breathe, bitch. Suck that helmet. And they'll suck it for a little while until you're blasting their mouth. Then afterward, they'll tell you shouldn't have done that. It's disrespectful. What do you give a fuck? At that point, you're
This is how, you make fun of it, but I was thinking about it the other day. I've come a long way. Like,
you have.
I have.
What have you done? You smoke cigarettes?
All right. Wow. So, I used to be I was thinking how embarrassed I was of my first or second time when I was 20 or something, and I would go not to this extent, but almost if you wouldn't mind a blowjob would be great.
You'd ask him.
I used to when I was really young.
No, you never ask shit. You just do.
And now I've upgraded to just saying do it. But I could never just shove it into one of the mouth.
No, you don't say it. You don't ask them to do it.
No, that's what I used to do when I was really young.
You move into the position and your dick's right there. They got nowhere to go. If you're driving down the road and all of a sudden a brick wall shows up.
They got places to go.
They got nowhere to go. If you're fingering this one, you got that hoof this way.
Yeah.
If they turn, they're going to hurt their own pussy. Your dick is right there. They got to suck it. It's the only logical fucking choice. Trust me, I don't like that shit either. It's not that I want you to suck my dick the whole night, but you gotta lick it. You gotta do something.
You gotta do something.
You gotta grab it. You gotta lick it. So that's the easiest dilemma. You gotta eat their pussy and surrender them. You gotta stick that tongue up your ass. You went the extra mile. But right as you move, you put that finger in that little monkey and you work it sideways. But as you cross over the leg, then you have to turn the hand to pick the hoof up. They can't go nowhere. You got them by the hoof. You got them 2 fucking fingers right in the fucking
scorpion
of death. You got those 2 fingers right in the hoof of death. And right there where you're going, you're fingering them. They need to do something. Huh, huh. And you put that fucking kakitsa in their fucking mouth and it's all over. Then you got staminka juice on their neck. And everybody's happy. Lee. It's fucking Wednesday. It's Wednesday, cocksuckers. What else you want to do with your life?
I don't know.
You're a young man. You're 24. At 24, see, you have no help because you don't do blow and you don't do drugs. When you do that shit, you got them halfway here. After that, it's all easy. They're fucking coked up. They'll suck your dick. They need to do something with their jaw. But now, you know, you're a straight guy, so you're a sexy motherfucker. You put a thong on for these girls and dance?
No, I'm not putting a thong
on. You don't do a magic mic for them?
A magic... No.
A magic mic for them. You got to put a little fucking bikini on. Did you even do... Put the camera on. Do some jumping jacks.
You do something.
Listen, listen,
I'm
what
so fucking high right now.
That's even better. We'll put some music on. You do a little magic mic for the girls at home watching.
I'm not doing magic mic for nobody.
You
Michael
do Jackson. I know you like Michael Jackson.
I do like Michael Jackson.
Put on Michael Jackson. It's close to midnight.
I'm not stripping. Evil. It's going to look like not that strip. Chris Farley you SNL video.
Strip. You don't have to strip. Just do a little dance with your clothes on. See what you got. Show them what you got. A little magic mic. What? Under the moonlight.
What's the name of the song?
Thriller.
We just played Thriller.
Well, you didn't dance.
I did two dance.
You have magic mic, cocksucker. Well, you kidding?
Son of a bitch.
These women fucking love you. This girl Melissa up in San Jose, she won't stop talking about you.
Yeah, right. Let's see. There's a fucking ad. But
well, find one without an ad. You gotta keep clicking back and forth.
Why click back and forth when it's gonna take 6 seconds for it to be over?
Did you ever dance for a girl naked before you take that cock and
did
put
I dance? No, why
you
would
gotta
I
dance? That's the dance of love. That got me tons of women. You gotta dance with them and shit. Women love when you dance. You gotta get that elephant with your dick on, you put your dick in the elephant and you just dance with them. What?
You did not buy one of those songs.
Yes, you do.
With the
I
animals.
Still got one at the house.
What animal do you have?
An elephant.
You bought one of the thongs.
Women
that you
love
stick
elephant.
It into the nose.
Yeah, why not? Women love
and
elephant.
You dance. How would you dance?
Thriller. Go, Lee. Let me see you bust it out for these broads. Watch
no,
it.
No, we should both do it.
Go ahead, but you do it first. You're the opening act. You're the feature.
I'm the feature act, so fuck you.
Okay, go ahead.
So you have an
going to the stage, my main man, hot Lee.
So you have an elephant, and
what's
do you
with
do?
The questions?
No, I
come, let me bring you up. Let me bring you up.
Moves?
Let me bring you up. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're at home right now. You got your main man, DJ Joey Diaz here. You're at the mic. Don't forget, Michelle is walking around with dollar drinks. Coming to the stage is the sexiest Jew you've ever seen in your life. The flying Jew, Mr. Lee Syatts. Hit it, Lee.
The crowd goes wild.
Crowd goes wild. Chicks go wild.
What are
you looking at me for? Show the camera. Shake. Show them their tongue, cocksucker. Shake for them. Shake it for them. Lee, don't look
showing
at me.
Showing the tongue?
Show them the tongue. You got to sell it. Maybe they'll send you $10. You say I got to sell my people. You say I got to sell my people.
Let's see the headliner. Let's see the headliner do it. Coming to the stage. The Cuban egg roll machine. Joey Diaz!
See what I'm saying? I don't fuck around with you. That's why. You don't eat ass. You don't want to fucking dance. What am I going to do with you? I can't take you nowhere. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You're lucky I love you.
I wish the neighbor. Like, I want to know what the neighbors think happens every
fuck
Monday
the neighbors.
And Wednesday.
What are you going to do with the neighbors? They're probably fucking immigrants. What are you going to do? They don't even know what's going on up here. They think we're cooking. So what do you got for me, Lee? That's it? No Hulu? No nothing?
We just did Hulu.
You sure? I gotta get your shit together, Lee. No more reefer from you from now on.
No more edibles. What edibles have turned your mind green?
No more edibles for you, Lee.
What are you talking about?
You're slipping. I don't understand this shit. So if you're not doing nothing, I'll be at Louisville, San Jose next week. I don't even know what fucking time it is. But I can't control you no more.
Like
you're fucking stoned to the gills.
I'm stoned to the gills. Fuck.
Listen, man, I'm happy Omar called today.
Yeah.
People are always looking for different tips and different things. When you want to write, just get out and write. Don't read nobody's books. Just write. If you read books, like just read Stephen King, or you read whatever author you like. I don't give a fuck who it is, bro. That's all bullshit. People come to you like, oh my God, I read this author. Listen, that's great. But if you read, reading is all you need to do. A fucking book a fucking week on anything. I try, sometimes it takes me 2 weeks to read a book, and I read simple fucking books. I'm reading a book now Felipe gave me. about some Mexican fucking gangsters. It's not bad, though. But I try to read as much as I can. If you read, then the writing will come easy to you. I'm telling you, I'm no fucking Phi Beta Kappa, and I could write, dog. So
why did you get so, like, you were getting emotional when Omar was talking?
Dog, when I think about that time in my life, it's fucking mind-boggling. I don't even like dabbling in that part of my life. I don't even like dabbling.
Are you ashamed of, like, what?
It's not the shame. It's who I was, what was in my poor little fucking heart as a young man. That's what the shame of the story was. The story, my story isn't about a comic. It's not about a guy who went to jail and got his life together. It's about a guy who was doomed to fail, doomed to inflict pain, doomed to inflict the pain that he was going through on America and on people. I could have easily been one of those kids that gone into a school and shot a school.
You think so?
Yes, I had all the fucking makings of it. Just because your mother has guns in the house doesn't mean you're cut out to go to a fucking school and kill young little fucking kids. To live that is something different. When you have something, when you have a pain in your heart and you want to lash out against society, that is a horrible fucking feeling to have, to know. And I know in my heart that I could have lashed out at society. I had all the tools against me. Plus, society had broken me down. It had broken me down spiritually. It had broken me down mentally and emotionally. That is the worst thing you could do to a fucking child. That is the time when the devil enters and they become the killers in San Francisco. The guy who died last week from El Paso. That is a tender age for a mind. That is a tender age for a mind.
You've never really talked about being upset at like a...
From 10 to 12 to 13, that's a very tender age. At that age, I beat myself up a little bit. But from fucking 14 to 18 on a child to 20, when your mind and your world is developing, to have those things beat against you, it could get ingrained in there. And you could become only one thing. At 18, I was going to become one thing, Lee. Something caught me, whether it was religious, whether it was God, whether it was who the fuck I was, and made me get up and go to Colorado. And that 6 or 7 months in Colorado helped me look into the window and shut that feeling off. I still could have done it at any time. I still could have done it at any time. 10 years later, 5 years later, I decided to take somebody who's a friend of mine, not in a your way, but an acquaintance. And I decide I'm going to rob this young man with two weapons in a room. What if? What if I would have gone to the trunk of the car, came back in with a gun and shot both of them? I could have blamed it on my upbringing. That would have been too fucking easy. That's what America wants you to do. That's what I tried to go away from. That is why I get emotional. Because I know what direction this could have gone into. I know what I would have accepted at that time. I know what I deserved. At that time, an 18-year-old thinks that he deserves the rest of his life in a fucking hole. And once you put somebody in a hole in this society, you just destroy their life. So for me to wake up twice a week and come here and fuck with you motherfuckers and fuck around about a finger up the ass or, get up and go out there, I'm not fucking around. Because once you fall into that fucking thing with your mind and you think you're worthless, there's no coming out of that. There's no coming out of this. And that's what this podcast is making people not do. Get the fuck out of there. So what? You had a bad week. Your family. Who gives a fuck? Go to school. Get a job. Get out there. Don't kill nobody. Just get out there. Smoke some weed. Drink. Fuck. Eat ass. And that's it. But it's a lot better than where you're leaving your mind at. That's why I get upset. Because nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody's ever known. Nobody's ever known what I was thinking those fucking ages. You know, it was just too much. When society fucks with you emotionally, and then, you know, after my mother died, I went to Social Security, and nobody would help me. Every place I went to was, and we could sit here till 10 in the morning. It's 8 now. It's 7:30. We could sit here till 10. I could tell you all the agencies, the places I turned to help. And maybe out of the 11 avenues I had, none of them came through. I mean, the insurance policy didn't come through. Nothing came through that was supposed to be there in line for your kids. You have kids, make sure if something happens to you today, they get taken care of. Make sure there's no red tape. that as soon as you, they put you in a hole, your children get a certain amount of money. That day, not a week from now in some bank account, that day, somebody you trust will give your son or your daughter, he's taken care of. Because you always think in the back of your mind, your children are taken care of. They're really fucking not. They're really not. Bureaucracies, and your kids don't have time for that. You know, your kids don't have time for that. So please, take care of all this shit. And that's it, cocksucker.
That's crazy. Like, you've never really talked to, like, you were mad at, like, people, but you never really talked about being mad at society before.
You have to. You have to. When your mother dies, you're mad at, I was mad at God. You know, 1980, I went with my buddy to get a bag of fucking reefer, and I seen priests down there giggling as drug dealers sold. I grew up a Catholic. I grew up a fucking Catholic. My world was Catholic. I believed that there was a God. I believed that there was a Holy Spirit. I believed all these fucking things, but bigger than the Holy Spirit, this thing called money.
Mm-hmm.
And money rules over everything. And I'd known about that at that age. I didn't know that people were selling weed in the fucking church. Then 6 months later, my mom is dead. And I'm sitting there waiting for fucking answers. You're waiting for answers. You know, you want God to come give you an answer. Well, how can you take a mom? Okay, I can understand if I had a father at the time. I had an uncle. But I was alone. So what God are you fucking talking about? What God are you talking about? That douchebag that let me alone in this fucking world without my mother to feel like this? Then I had all these other issues of maybe I could have saved my mother. Now I'm going to war with my stepfather. Now I'm getting high. I mean, everything else was great. I didn't pay rent. I was living like a king. But it wasn't the outside world. It was what was going inside that was building a snow fucking tornado, bro. It was just a hurricane. It was just a hurricane a-coming. And you know what? Like I said, I'm very lucky. I ended up with 4 years. And nobody ended up with a bullet in their head, or I didn't maim somebody, or because that's where the anger was going lashed. When you have that anger in your heart, it gets lit. You put it on something. I could have caught a bunch of cats and cut their fucking heads off. That's that.
You were like that angry, like that's crazy. I never knew. Like I mean, it makes sense, but like, and you never really expressed that before.
Very angry. Very fucking angry. Very angry. I mean, angry to the point where. You can't fucking believe it. All you needed was the bad word to come out of your fucking mouth and you might die.
So you're relaxed now by comparison.
Not really, if you can tell. You know, in my heart still, you know, I get angry sometimes.
The one thing surprised me.
But that anger is what fuels me.
Yeah.
That anger is my fuel, so I've accepted it. It's my fuel. It's what makes me go to the coffee shop and write. It's what keeps me up till 1 a.m. writing. It's what makes me look for songs for you guys on the podcast. That's my anger, you know, and that's what you have to fuel off every day. What to do with this anger, right? Either I could call Lee a motherfucker every day, or I could take this anger to push me to get to where I want to be. Joey, what the fuck? You're sitting here watching SpongeBob? Really? Get your life together. Get up. Go put some sweats on, go for a walk. That's what my anger has done to me. So the anger is helpful because it fuels everything. That's it, guys. That's a fucking podcast, right, man. Hey, brother. Oh, my God. I got boogies in my hands and everything.
That was crazy, man.
Yeah, no. You guys have no idea where I was and what I became.
Is that why you get so mad at some people when you don't think they're doing the right thing? Because, like, you're mad at yourself, kind of?
Oh, please. You know, there was one time where I had no human respect for you, Lee. What does that mean that Lee could... Well, no. Let's say Lee, you're very good to me. You could have fed me. I would always have your back. But let's say you were I was doubtful about you.
Mm-hmm.
You were always in danger. Because if I was having a bad day, I'd walk over here, I'd kick your fucking door in, and I'd take this fucking computer. And guess what, Lee? I didn't give a fuck that you knew. What are you going to do to me? What are you going to do? You come beat me up. That's what I got all those years of hanging out with Mike Ronnie. I didn't give a fuck. People that got robbed, they knew it was me. What are they going to do? They beat around the bush. Somebody robbed me. They knew it was me. What are they going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to fucking do? Nothing. You're going to call the cop. You're going to beat me up. You're going to hit me. And then when I get mad next time, I'm going to rob your fucking house again and put a pipe in your fucking skull. So you're going to hit me. That's what you're going to fucking do. That's what you want me out there thinking, that you're going to hit me. So people knew this. Like, I was a fucking menace. You know, I get mad at a lot of North Bergen kids today because now they're my friends. But they weren't my friends 30 years ago. You know what? I didn't deserve them as my friends. These people were scared of me. They knew that it's like an old fag. It's like an old fag. When you're a kid, your mom tells you, don't even look at them. Don't even look. Don't even look at them. They're old fags. Because an old fag will suck you in. Next thing you know, you're sucking dick, dog. Old fags, they're crafty motherfuckers. Trust me. Like Sinatra, you see that movie about fucking Liberace?
No.
You gotta watch that movie. He's an old fag. Once they touch you in the arm and they go, oh, it's so nice. That's 50% you're sucking that guy's dick.
Jesus Christ.
Very interesting podcast today. I'm sorry. You gotta let people know what you're thinking, because this is what people are thinking. People want the answers, bro. When people are mad at something, they're not mad at you, Lee. They're mad at something else. And the more fucking anger you throw into that anger's gonna blow.
Yeah.
And eventually, someday, you are gonna get a weapon and take it to your post office and shoot the fucking clerk when she tells you you need your ID and you parked a mile away and you gotta go back to the car because you left it in that motherfucker. Motherfucker. Listen, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. Next week, San Jose, my main man, Lee Syatt. The week after that, in Vegas with Joe Rogan, July 20th in Philadelphia. I love you motherfuckers with all my heart. I gave you a shout out. I want to give a shout out to fucking Hulu Plus. I want to give a shout out to Onnit. I want to give a shout out to everybody who makes this podcast. Subscribe, motherfuckers. We need to move up on the charts. We need a bunch of shit. Take this podcast today that you got and do what you need with it. There's something in here for everybody. It's fear. It's anger. There's something in here. You guys are some bad motherfuckers. Don't forget about me.
Now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus and start watching your favorite hit shows right now.
Lee, where's the enthusiasm? Say, listen, now that the fucking show's over, go over there and sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Take it, Lee.
I'll read you the lines.
You're like a fucking, hey, now that the show is over. It ain't over. Just start, because now they listen to it. Now is when the show starts. Once you turn it off and it goes into that fucking club Zania.
I'm not an actor and you got me so fucking,
I'm not a fucking
stone,
actor.
I can't even,
you're
move.
You're stone, but you're so sitting there like a Mama Luca the A. You got to say it from your heart. Go to fucking Hulu Plus, cocksucker. Go ahead. Let's do it again. It's from the beginning.
Fine. Three, you want
to
start?
No, you do it. Three, all right. Two, one.
Go to Hulu Plus, cocksucker. Now that the show's over, you go there. You go to our homepage, joeydiaz.net, and you click the banner. Or you go to the website, huluplus.com/joey. And you go there. You get two free weeks. You watch all the shows. Go to the banner at joeydiaz.net or huluplus.com/joey. Momo, cocksucker.
That's right. I love you guys. Go to Honor, too. Go to Hulu Plus. Sign up Joey, lowercase, higher case. I don't give a fuck. Just put Joey in there. Get your two free weeks. You're going to love it. You're going to love me for doing this, all right? Have a great week, and I love you guys. See you in Lexington, Kentucky. Cincinnati in the fucking house. I'm getting some Cincinnati people down there. Bring me some red paraphernalia. What's the music, Lee?
Nothing. They should put higher case on your keyboard instead of uppercase for the
Lee,
weed.
Have you ever gotten stabbed in the kidney?
You said higher case.
Have you ever gotten stabbed in the kidney?
Have you?
I'm not. I'll fucking see after I stab you.
Are you feeling okay? Are you feeling okay?
What'd you think of that, Lee?